Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. It is the Leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. I'm Brandon. Kylie Kramer is on the other side of the glass. Coming up at 12 o'clock, it is Out of Bounds with Dusty Likens and Nick Price. We're back to being live and local on a Saturday. It feels good. It's been a little while. It's been about a month since we've been able to do this because of other issues, whether it be K-State being on early or us being out of town, whatever it may be. We've been about a month away, but we are back. It's good to be back. If you missed our interview earlier today, we talked with Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports. Talked to him about Jalen Ramsey, Patrick Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson. That's all on the podcast page, 610sports.com. Coming up in 30 minutes, Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride will join the show. So I mentioned how last week I was watching a little bit of Aaron Rodgers. And typically when you're watching Aaron Rodgers, you know, you're expecting the big-time throws. You're expecting him to do something amazing, all of these different things, right? Aaron Rodgers is unbelievable. In my opinion, the most talented quarterback that I've seen maybe ever. I have to couch that because now I'm watching Patrick Mahomes. And so, like, I previously used to be able to say, yeah, you know, Aaron Rodgers, the most talented quarterback I've ever seen. I don't know if that's the case anymore, but neither here nor there. I was watching Aaron Rodgers, and I came to the realization of something. That guy's not as good as Patrick Mahomes. He's just not. It's amazing to say this because it seems impossible in my mind. Aaron Rodgers is boring to watch. I watch Patrick Mahomes every single week. And I watch these other teams in the NFL. I watched Thursday night, Marcus Mariota, Gardner Minshew. You're watching on Monday Night Football. You're watching all day Sunday. Man, these teams are boring. I came to this realization because, man, when you go from watching arguably the most dominant second quarter I've ever seen, with just bombs being dropped from all over the place, perfect throws, pinpoint throws, going over the top all day from Patrick Mahomes. And last week, you watched what the Chiefs were able to do in the first quarter with Patrick Mahomes just shredding what I believe to be one of the best defenses in the NFL with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't know how you go from that to watching other quarterbacks and other offenses in the league and say you're watching the same sport. I went from watching Patrick Mahomes to watching who I believe to be a good quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, and I don't think that's a hot take, and I came away saying Aaron Rodgers can't do the things that my quarterback can do. He can't. He's not physically capable of doing some of the things that Patrick Mahomes can do. I'm sure you guys have had this moment. I don't know when it happened. When did you have the moment of, man, that guy, this is all boring. This is all boring to watch compared to watching the Kansas City Chiefs. 69306 is the Protein House Eat With a Purpose text line. When did you first come to that realization? Have you had that moment yet, Kramer, where it's like you're watching games on Sunday and you watch the Chiefs and you're watching them on the noon slate because more often than not, that's when they're playing. And you go to the 3 o'clock slate and you're watching, maybe it's Russell Wilson or you're watching Derek Carr, you're watching Jared Goff, whoever the team is, right? And you just say to yourself, this is different. It looks like a different sport to me. Not that it's bad. It's still football. Pizza's good no matter what the pizza is, unless it's St. Louis pizza, in which case it's trash. But in general, there's no such thing as bad pizza. It's just pizza. It's good. There are different qualities of good, but it's all good. Watching the Chiefs and going to other teams, it's still football, so you enjoy it. It's just not quite as good.
I think that switch happened for me week 5 or week 6 last year. Because it was just completely different.
I think for me, I don't know why it changed this year, but it did change. And it came to the point where, like, last year I was just trying to convince myself. I think I was still, like, ready to get kicked in the groin. Because I've seen it happen so many times with the Chiefs. Like, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. And it's just a matter of when, not if. I don't feel that way anymore. Like, now I'm just enjoying the ride. Now I'm just here for, man, Patrick Mahomes is going to be here for the next, like, 15 or 20 years. Like, this is what we get to watch every week for the next 15 or 20 years. Somebody from the 913 on the Protein House Eat with the Purpose text line at 69306 said, last week when Romo said the Chiefs are playing Madden and the rest of the teams are playing the NFL, that was when I realized that it's just different watching this team. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's when other people that I really trust, other people that know the league, are saying, like, this is just different. Ryan Clark last week, who played in the league, played safety for a decade for the Steelers. It was a really good safety nonetheless. Came on Twitter last Sunday watching the Chiefs and said, I can't watch the Chiefs anymore because this is reality TV and I don't watch reality TV. Like, it just seems fake. It shouldn't be this easy. It shouldn't be. It can't be this easy. There was a story the other day on ESPN about how Patrick Mahomes could throw for 6,000 yards and 60 touchdowns. That's ridiculous. He could never do that. But are we sure? Are we sure he could never do that? Like, it seems inconceivable to me that any quarterback could ever throw for 60 touchdowns and 6,000 yards in a single season. But everything that I'm watching seems inconceivable when it comes to Patrick Mahomes. He had 250 yards in the first quarter against one of the most dominant defenses we've seen. He went and shredded the Oakland Raiders in the second quarter to the tune of something I've never seen before. Are we sure he can't? Are we sure he can't do it? I don't understand. I legitimately, every Sunday, and I know I'm like at a loss for words right now. Every Sunday I try to understand what I'm watching and I can't. Think about last week. Patrick Mahomes was without his best receiver in Tyreek Hill. He was without his starting left tackle who left after three snaps in Eric Fisher. His running game averaged like 1.5 yards per carry. He was under duress for most of the day. He's hobbled on one ankle. And he goes and has arguably the best second quarter that we've ever seen in the history of football. Like, what? That can't happen. That can't happen. It's impossible for that to happen. We're getting a bunch of texts right now about when people realize what they're watching with Patrick Mahomes is different. 69306, the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. On the run, touchdown pass against the 49ers last year. That's when I realized it. Nobody else is capable of doing that. See, that's when I realized what the Chiefs had was special. And what Patrick Mahomes was going to be was special. I understood that then. It's different, though, watching this team. Like, they look like they're playing a different sport. And so that's when I realized, okay, Patrick Mahomes is going to be good. I don't know what the ceiling of what we're watching is, but I knew then Patrick Mahomes is good. Somebody from the 816 says, Aaron Rodgers is like Larry Bird. Patrick Mahomes is Michael Jordan. He's setting a new standard for the position. It's an interesting point. I don't know what the comparison is. Every time that I've talked about Patrick Mahomes, you've made the comparison, or every time that you hear somebody talk about Patrick Mahomes, you hear the comparison to the Warriors. And I think the second quarter against the Raiders was an interesting point on that because that was very Warriors-like. One thing that the Warriors do that's just different than any other team in the sport is you're just waiting for the run. It's typically in the third quarter. You're going to see this third quarter where all of a sudden they've got the lineup of death in and they score 35 points over 8 minutes. They score 35 points over a five-minute period, and it's all threes, and it comes at you so fast you just don't know what happened. And by the time that you realize what had just happened, the game's over. That's what the second quarter was like on Sunday. The Chiefs were not playing well. They were down 10-0. And then the second quarter ends, and the game's over, and they've won. Like, there was no way that the Raiders were going to be able to come back from that. The Raiders were rolling. The stadium was rocking. They had figured out, seemingly, the Chiefs' offense for a quarter. It looked like the loss of Eric Fisher was going to be a problem. Patrick Mahomes was hobbled. He was a little bit off on some of his throws. And then it was just over. Patrick Mahomes had defeated the Raiders in 15 minutes. That can't happen, man. Every Sunday, I watch the Chiefs, and it's like watching a different sport. I watched Aaron Rodgers, and I thought it was boring. I thought Aaron Rodgers was boring. Think about how crazy that is to say. Didn't want to mention one other thing here really quickly. As much as watching Patrick Mahomes is just different, and this offense is unlike anything I've ever seen, people make the comparison to the greatest show on turf, this is better. This is better than the greatest show on turf. And it's going to be better by a decent margin whenever Tyreek Hill gets back. The running game has been a problem. Nobody seems to care. I don't seem to care. But the running game has been a problem. Let me give you a quick stat. The Chiefs have 48 rushing attempts this season. Of them, one went for 31 yards. The other 47 rushing attempts for the Chiefs have combined for 117 yards on the year. 47 attempts, 117 yards. You don't have to be a mathematician to know that's fewer than 3 yards per carry. That ain't going to work. Now, one thing that I would add, last year, Kareem Hunt got off to a really slow start the first 3 games of the year as well. Over the next 8 games, he had 1,000 yards from scrimmage and 11 touchdowns. So I'm not ready to be worried about this yet. And on Sunday, it sounds like Damian Williams is going to be out for the Chiefs. I'm not worried about this. And I think Patrick Mahomes can overcome it no matter what. Eventually, though, the Chiefs are going to have to get this running game going. And I believe they will. But right now, it looks really bad. And they need to be able to get this thing figured out. It is the Leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. I'm Brandon Kiley. We've got Kramer on the other side of the glass. Coming up next, trading for Jalen Ramsey would very likely mean mortgaging the future. And it's worth it. We'll discuss it next. It is the Leadoff on 610 Sports Radio.
The Leadoff with Brandon Kiley, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back. It is the Leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. I'm Brandon Kiley. He is Kramer on the other side of the glass. Coming up here in just about 15 minutes, we're going to be joined by Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride. He will join us to talk Patrick Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson and his impression on whether or not the Chiefs should trade for Jalen Ramsey. Speaking of Jalen Ramsey, here's the latest from Ian Rappaport.
Make no mistake, there are a lot of teams interested. We discussed them over the course of the past couple days. The Kansas City Chiefs, the Baltimore Ravens, Philadelphia Eagles, all squarely in the mix. There certainly are some others. I know the Cardinals have called, the Browns have called, there's Raiders, there's a lot of teams that have called. The real question now, and this is according to the teams that do have interest in Ramsey, is are the Jaguars going to trade him? They're going to get him a good deal if they decide to trade him. It has been very clear what Ramsey's stance is, but given the performance that the Jaguars had on the field last night, given the fact that they have a pretty favorable schedule and a rookie quarterback who's playing pretty well, do they decide to deal their best player in a division that for them is winnable? That's a question that we simply do not know the answer to.
So that is the latest on Jalen Ramsey. And so there are legitimate questions now, it appears, as to whether or not Jalen Ramsey is actually going to be available, which is crazy because this entire time, the whole argument in favor of Jalen Ramsey was, well, he's the guy that's available, and now he may not be available. But let's go on, proceed under the impression that he is going to be available because that is the more interesting conversation here in Kansas City. If he is indeed available, the Chiefs should make the trade. I will add this. If he's available and the Chiefs do make the trade, they would be mortgaging part of their future. And it would be worth it. Let's go down this line, right? So, if the Chiefs trade for Jalen Ramsey, it's probably going to take at the least a first and a third round pick. Might be first and a second. Could very well end up needing to be 2 first round picks for the Jags to actually make this trade. If that's the case, it's going to mean mortgaging some of your future. The Chiefs will not be as good in 2021 as they could have been otherwise if they decide to trade 2 first round picks, let's say, for Jalen Ramsey. Here's my question to you guys. If it means winning a Super Bowl this year, and if Jalen Ramsey is, and I believe he could be, the ultimate force, the deciding factor between winning the Super Bowl this year or not winning the Super Bowl this year, would you trade that for going 10-6 in 2021 instead of going 12-4? Making the playoffs but not being quite as good in 2021 and then probably in 2022 as well. Would you trade that? Kramer, would you make that trade? Super Bowl this year for not quite being as good 2-3 years down the road?
Yes, I would.
I would too. And the reason why is very simple. We're talking about the Chiefs. This is an organization that in my lifetime has not been a real Super Bowl contender at any point. It's all about winning that trophy. Everything this organization does should be geared right now towards winning a Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes now. You never know what it's going to look like in the future. If you had told me that Aaron Rodgers and Andrew Luck this far into both of their careers would combine for one Super Bowl victory, I would have said you're insane. There's no way that could happen. After watching them early in their careers, there's no way, no way that those guys combined for one Super Bowl victory. That's what they got. Russell Wilson, one Super Bowl victory. This stuff is so fleeting, man. As amazing as Patrick Mahomes is, and there is no denying the fact that Patrick Mahomes is an unbelievable player, a generational player who could very well go down as the best quarterback ever, and that's not hyperbole. We've never seen a start like this to anybody's career. As much as all of that is true, it changes so fast in this league. It changes so fast. Travis Kelce's getting a little up there. Tyreek Hill might not be here next year. Who knows? Based on the off-field stuff. I'm not predicting that. I think he'll be here for the duration of his career. But this stuff changes so fast. An injury could change things so quickly. And so when you have the opportunity, you got to strike. You got to strike. You got to go make sure that you cash in on situations when you can legitimately win a Super Bowl. The Protein I'll See with a Purpose text line is 69306. This comes from the 816. I disagree that it would be worth it. Just look at what the Astros have done. I'm not sure I understand the comparison. This comes from the 913. Protein I'll See with a Purpose text line. That's what the Royals did when they traded for Cueto and Zobrist. We won it all and returned to mediocrity shortly thereafter. Now, I think there are some people that would make this comparison. I don't think it's a fair comparison, though. The Royals returned to mediocrity and really returned to poor play shortly thereafter for a lot of reasons. Most of why they returned to mediocrity was not because they traded for Cueto and Zobrist. They should have done that, by the way. We all agree, right? Like, winning the World Series was worth trading for those guys. When you have that opportunity and you're the Royals, you should go after Johnny Cueto and Ben Zobrist to assure that you're able to cash in on the short, brief period where you can contend. The big difference, though, is that baseball and football are not similar. In baseball, tanking smart. In football, it's not. When the Dolphins try to tank, their entire team wants a trade. The Dolphins might not be good for the next decade because of what they're doing right now. The Astros tanked for 3 years, and it worked. The Astros are a World Series contender every single year now. The Red Sox can tank for a year or two and then go to the World Series the next year. It's not how it works in the NFL for a number of reasons. Injuries, the duration of these players' careers is shorter than in the MLB. The rookie contracts are only 4 years in the NFL, whereas in the MLB, you've got a player for 7 years under club control. Like, there's just so many differences in the NFL as opposed to baseball. It's just not that comparable. Comes from 816. Chiefs don't have a lot of holes. Give up those two first and answer the biggest problem for the next 10 years with Jalen Ramsey. I'm not sure he answers it for 10 years, but he certainly answers it for the next five. The Chiefs' biggest question right now is who's going to cover people? Who's going to cover people? When you get into the playoffs and you got to go up against the best teams in the AFC, who is going to cover somebody on 3rd and 10 when you got to have a stop? We saw this exact situation last year. Patriots came into Arrowhead. You had the perfect scenario. Chiefs had a legitimate shot to win the AFC title and go to the Super Bowl. All they needed was a stop. A stop. Couldn't get it because they didn't have the guys to cover the people when it came down to 3rd and 10, 3rd and 12, game on the line in the AFC Championship game. You know who makes that stop? Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey gets you that stop. Big-time players make big-time plays in big-time games. The Chiefs have a couple of those guys. Tyrann Mathieu, you expect him to make big-time plays in those big-time games. Frank Clark, same thing. Chris Jones, same thing. You need to add somebody outside at corner that can be that big-time player. They don't have one right now. I like what we've seen from Bashaud Breeland. He's a solid player. He's a legitimate NFL cornerback. I don't know that the Chiefs have another one of those on the team right now. Kendall Fuller has really struggled this season. Tre'Davious Ward, I'm not sure, is a legitimate starting cornerback in the NFL. They have one. They need another. And the guy that is the best at it in the NFL is available right now. When you have the chance to do that, when you have the chance to go out and win yourself a Super Bowl with one move, you do it. It could mean mortgaging the future. But it's worth it, man. It's worth it. Going out and winning a Super Bowl is what this is all about. You think the Seahawks regret making some of the moves that they made? No. They got the Super Bowl. Could they have gone to more? Maybe. But they got the one. They got the one. We can talk about mortgaging the future in the future when the Chiefs have the one. When the Chiefs are in the situation where the Seahawks are now, where they had the one with Russell Wilson, it's a different conversation. Now you're building for consistent contention. You got to get the one first, though, man. The Packers have been building for consistent contention for years. What's it gotten them? Got them the one. That's it. The Chiefs want to win multiple, but they got to get the one first. And Jalen Ramsey absolutely helps you get that one. Coming up here in just about 15 minutes or so, I want to get back to the discussion about Jalen Ramsey versus Chris Jones and why I think it's going to be an important conversation for the Chiefs to have. But coming up next, let's talk to Pete Sweeney. He's with Arrowhead Pride. He's going to be out of the game tomorrow. What is he expecting from this Lamar Jackson versus Patrick Mahomes matchup? And does he think this could be a legitimate rivalry for years to come? We'll talk it over with Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride next. It is The Leadoff on 610 Sports Radio.
The Leadoff with Brandon Kiley, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back. It is The Leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. I'm Brandon Kiley. We got Kramer on the other side of the glass. The Protein House Eat with the Purpose text line 69306. This one comes in from the 913. We've had first round picks in the past. We haven't had a Super Bowl. The text is in response to the discussion we were just having about the Chiefs potentially having to mortgage the future for Jalen Ramsey and why I think it'd be worth it. I looked this up because let's say that it is the missing piece, right? Let's say Jalen Ramsey helps the Chiefs win a Super Bowl. I believe he would. They would have the number 32 overall pick. Here are the last 10 number 32 overall picks. And tell me if you would trade two of these guys for Jalen Ramsey. N'Keal Harry, Lamar Jackson. Okay, that's different because quarterback. Chiefs wouldn't be taking a quarterback. Ryan Ramczyk, good offensive tackle. Emmanuel Ogba, who happens to be on the Chiefs now. Malcolm Brown, who I don't believe is playing football. Teddy Bridgewater. Matt Elam, who I don't think is playing football anymore. David Wilson. Derek Sherrod. Who the hell is Derek Sherrod? And Patrick Robinson. You would trade 10 of those guys for the right to get Jalen Ramsey. We'll talk this over. My guy, Pete Sweeney, is on the line. He is in charge of Arrowhead Pride. He is on Twitter at PG Sweeney. PG Sween, S-W-E-E-N. Pete, how you doing this morning, man? You ready to get Jalen Ramsey up in Kansas City?
I'm ready for it, but I'm starting to have my doubts once again. I don't even know if Jacksonville could end up moving him at this point.
What are we doing? What are we doing with this? This is insanity.
I think that Jacksonville and the reports that they want two first-rounders are legitimate. And I also think that there's a possibility now, and it sounds crazy, but maybe Ramsey could also buy into Minshew mania and think that they could get something going and sneak into one of those wild card positions.
It's just insane because the entire argument all week that I've had is, well, this is the guy that's available. Like, we can want Patrick Peterson or Xavier Howard or Xavier Rhodes or Darius Slay, whoever your favorite cornerback is, the flavor of the day. None of those guys are available, and this guy is. And now the question is he actually available? Like, what is going on in the NFL? This week has been drunk, man. We had the whole Jalen Ramsey saga and then the Antonio Brown thing. I do want to ask you about that, Pete, because one of the questions we got a lot yesterday when the Antonio Brown release came through was, does this change the need for the Chiefs to get a cornerback of the likes of whether it be Patrick Peterson or Jalen Ramsey or whoever your guy is? My answer to that question is no, but what would you say?
I don't think it changes the need. It changes the urgency in my eyes. Once the Patriots had Antonio Brown, and let's for argument's sake throw out all the off the field stuff for a second. They were just a better team. That they had too many weapons. They could stick with the Chiefs and everything that they offer on offense. Their defense is better than the Chiefs' defense. Now, to me, the Chiefs and Patriots are back to being pretty close. During the roller coaster 11 days that the New England Patriots had Antonio Brown, he's that dynamic and that good and draws that much attention that I was sure that the Patriots were better than the Chiefs. I think I'm back to I don't know anymore, but it doesn't change the need. I mean, the cornerback position's an obvious need. And the fact that you kind of hear you know, from Therese, who has better sourcing than I do, but I've heard some rumblings myself, that the Chiefs are interested in a Fitzpatrick, are floating things out for Ramsey, mean that Brett Veach is well aware that the team needs a quarterback. He's going to be in that market, and I think it's closer to the deadline, because as the deadline goes, you get to week 8, you've now played 8 games. Some teams are going to be 2-6. Some teams are going to be 1-7. And some quarterbacks that maybe aren't available right now may become available. And the Chiefs need to take a better deal, because they don't have a ton of draft capital anymore because of all these picks that they've been sending.
We're talking with Pete Sweeney. He is of Arrowhead Pride. He's on Twitter at PG Sween. All right, Pete, let's kind of turn our attention to the game at hand on Sunday. I just saw this. This came from Jameson Hensley. He is the Ravens reporter for ESPN. He says the forecast for kickoff for the Ravens at Chiefs is 73 degrees with a 95% chance of rain and winds up to 20 miles per hour. It's forecast time, Pete. What do you think this means for the game? Does it change anything in terms of your expectations? Because typically, fantasy football head here, the rain doesn't much matter. The 20 miles per hour gusts of wind definitely matters for fantasy production. And so that would be something that I would be looking into. What do you think this means for the game on Sunday?
Yeah, not so worried about the rain. I mean, I'm no Gary Lezak over here, but it should definitely be raining. And it's funny because it seems like at least like more than half the games every year at Arrowhead are just nasty weather in one way or another. It's like, we've been hot and it's been sunny now for like 4 or 5
Welcome
weeks.
Welcome to Kansas City, Pete.
you can't wear a shirt. And then all of a sudden now on Aaron's first day of Arrowhead, it's pretty nasty out. I don't think it impacts the game. I think Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are still going to do what they do.
We saw
Patrick Mahomes last week adjust to a bum ankle. Once he has a bad ankle and still throws 4 touchdowns in one quarter, I think that maybe he can throw a few passes and adjust to whatever wind there is. I'm like, after last week, I stopped questioning Patrick Mahomes. I'm no longer questioning Patrick Mahomes. I think he can handle anything that is thrown in his direction.
I did want to ask you about the other side of the ball, because the defense to me has been a little better than I expected. It's not that they've been great, but they've been solid for most of the year at this point. And really the biggest thing that's changed from my view is the second half adjustments. I kind of mentioned these stats earlier today. The Jags and the Raiders have averaged 103 yards between them in the second half. Last year, for instance, the Chiefs defense allowed an average of 165 passing yards in the second half. So the Chiefs defense has adjusted at halftime. They have found what they've been doing poorly, and they've found a way to adjust on the fly. What have you seen from Spags so far, and has it been surprising to you as it has for me?
Yeah, you're kind of, I don't know if I'm ruining one of your questions here, but you're kind of walking me into my prediction for the game. I just think that in this particular game, these two offenses are going to go at it in the first half, and then it is going to be a battle of second half adjustments. Like, how can Harbaugh adjust to what the Chiefs are doing? And I have grown to have confidence in what Steve Spagnuolo can do after seeing a first half worth of tape, how to stop this Ravens offense, which is pretty good. I've liked some of the things Spags has done. One of the things Mahomes that you remember said in training camp was he mixes it up every day. And if you're confusing Patrick Mahomes, that's a good sign for me where he's watching the film. He's finding out where the weaknesses are in the Baltimore offense and exploiting them. And then if it doesn't work, he has the power to go in the locker room. And unlike Bob Sutton, won't just keep the two cornerbacks on the other side of the field. We're going to press, you know, and cover two looks. Like, no, he actually has a plan here and he adjusts. And I think for sure. And I think that's what was missing with the Chiefs. It's like on the other side of the football, Andy Reid, he's known for his in-game adjustments. Mm-hmm. And Bob Sutton was just stagnant. And so I've grown to be confident. I heard your earlier point in the show where Spags says Bashaud Breeland wanted to go one-on-one with the Raiders best receiver. And he put him in. Like, I just could never see Bob Sutton do it.
Oh, my God.
I could never see Bob Sutton doing that. He would say, no, go stand where I told you to stand. But, yeah, it just seems like a better feel, better interaction with players, better mood overall for the Chiefs defense.
I wanted to ask you one other thing about the defense. Listen, it's not that Frank Clark's been bad. It's not that Tyrann Mathieu's been bad. I think both of those guys have more or less been pretty solid for most of the season thus far. And the thing that's been missing, though, is there haven't really been a whole lot of big plays between them. And I know this is totally cliche, but I do believe there's some truth to it. Big time players step up in big time with big time plays in big time games. This is a big time game, Pete. As much as a lot of people are kind of underselling, I think, what this game could ultimately mean in the big picture, it's possible this game could be for the second seed in the AFC this year. I mean, the AFC North does not look very good right now. The Browns are dropping like flies. The Steelers have lost their starting quarterback. It's possible the Ravens' schedule is not very difficult, and that could be a big advantage for them moving forward. If this game is for the second seed in the AFC, that means huge implications for the Chiefs. I think this is the game when we need to see a big play from a guy like Frank Clark and a guy like Tyrann Mathieu. It's why they brought them here. It's what I want to see this weekend. Where are you on those two key additions and what we need to see from them tomorrow?
Yeah, just one point about it being such a big game. I mean, every game matters, and we've seen the NFL respond quickly when they feel like they've met a missed opportunity. Don't be surprised if they start flexing games in week 2 and 3 next year, because I think across nationally, if you look at the map, a lot of people are getting this game, and you can bet that the NFL wishes that it could have flexed it. I think there's no doubt about that. But anyway, yes, I completely agree with Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark. Right now, on the defensive line, the Chiefs chose to pay a stranger in Frank Clark and not pay Chris Jones, and he's riding with that last year. And Chris Jones, again, there's two different positions, but he looks better than Frank Clark, more explosive, more impact in the game, whereas Frank Clark was paid to be a game wrecker, and he has been far from that so far. He's been pretty good with some run defense. He is getting some extra attention, so you see other guys get sacks, and some of that can be a result of why Jones it looks as good as he does. I think you need a formidable end in this mix. But yes, one of the major things, and I remember this every time with this Chiefs defense and the players, and Spags preached that they wanted the defense to be a reason the Chiefs win games. And Mathieu and Clark are a big part of that, and you haven't seen that thus far. And so, yes, I'm looking forward to that. And it should be easy, right? I mean, this is Arrowhead. I know it's going to be raining, but that place is going to be rocking. It's going to be loud. No shortage of motivation tomorrow.
Last question for you, Pete. We're talking with Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride here on the leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. A lot of people have made a whole heck of a lot about Mahomes versus Jackson and the potential of this being the next big quarterback duo, the next big quarterback rivalry in the AFC. Where are you at on this?
I'm out on it. I had someone tweet at me yesterday. First it was Baker Mayfield. Then it was Deshaun Watson. Now it's Lamar Jackson. And it's hard to name that the next Brady versus Manning, because for the next 3 or 4 years, Mahomes versus Brady is still a thing. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to have several different ones. If I'm comparing it, though, it reminds me more of a three quarterback. I think we're ignoring Watson because of the Texans' rough start, but Watson to me is just as good as these guys. And to me, it's more of a Roethlisberger, Rivers, Eli type of trio thing, as opposed to like these two great quarterbacks. Easy to say in Kansas City. We're biased here, but I anticipate Patrick Mahomes to be a thing for a very long time. I don't know if the way Lamar Jackson plays is sustainable, and look no further than his backup, Robert Griffin III. And so with that being said, you got to be on the field, and your team has to be competitive for a rivalry like that. I want to see the Ravens do a little bit more. We've seen now two games where they've looked pretty good against bad opponents. The Chiefs are coming off an AFC title. And Patrick Mahomes threw 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards for a whole year. Like, let's see it more than 2 weeks before we start crowning Jackson as Mahomes' next foe.
He is Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride. He is on Twitter at PG Sweeney. You can hear him on the AP tailgate 10 a.m. tomorrow leading into the game. Pete, what do you guys have lined up for tomorrow on the Arrowhead Pride tailgate show?
The usual, but I think it's a pretty good show we put together. We look at both sides of the football. We bring on our experts who have dove into the film. We have Paul Charchian on for some fantasy talk. We'll call Baltimore and get some of their input from the other side. Ken Swanson is fantastic, and we'll get you ready, right, leading right into the game. Rather than taking in the TV, you're going to be watching TV all day. Turn on the radio. Eat breakfast with your family. Come listen to Ken Swanson and Pete Sweeney.
And get the Chiefs' perspective. That's all you really want. Let's be honest here. You've heard plenty about how, hey, you guys know what? Tom Brady, he's pretty good at football. You've heard plenty of that. Come listen to Pete Sweeney. You'll be able to do so right here on 610 Sports Radio tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. Pete, you're the best man. Always appreciate the time.
Okay, BK, take care.
You bet. That is Pete Sweeney joining us here on the leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. They do a really good job. Again, you can hear that starting at 10 a.m. right here on 610 Sports Radio. Our pregame coverage kicks off with the Arrowhead Pride tailgate show. One more segment to go. The Chiefs might have to choose between Jalen Ramsey and their best player on the defensive line so far this year. The choice is clear to me. I'll tell you why coming up. It is the leadoff on 610 Sports Radio.
The leadoff with Brandon Kiley, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back. It is the leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. Coming up here in just a minute, I'll tell you why the Chiefs' choice between Jalen Ramsey and Chris Jones is an easy one in my mind. But watching this Wisconsin versus Michigan game right now, have you seen the numbers that Jonathan Taylor has put up so far in the first quarter?
I don't want to look at him. I'm a Michigan fan.
Oh, yeah, don't look. Don't look. This is not safe for work. Jonathan Taylor has 12 carries for 143 yards and two touchdowns in the first quarter against Michigan. It's not like Michigan's defense is just a bunch of scrubs. Michigan's defense is really good. Jonathan Taylor putting together one hell of a Heisman performance in the first quarter against Michigan. Wisconsin is just dominating this game thus far. Wisconsin up 14 to nothing. Again, there's about 2 minutes left in the first quarter. Jonathan Taylor already with 140 yards rushing in the first quarter. We'll keep an eye on that for you throughout the morning. Coming up at noon, it is Out of Bounds with Dusty Likens and Nick Price. Before we get to the Jalen Ramsey point that I wanted to make, wanted to quickly kind of wrap a bow on the conversation we were just having with Pete Sweeney about how important this game is for the Chiefs tomorrow whenever they take on the Ravens. Because I think we've both oversold and undersold this game. We've oversold the rivalry portion of this with Lamar Jackson going up against Patrick Mahomes. I think we've oversold that a bit. I think we have actually undersold the fact that this could be a tiebreaker for the number two seed in the AFC. Don't look now, but the AFC North looks terrible. The Browns are reportedly going to be without both of their starting cornerbacks this weekend. They are already without one of their starting linebackers. Christian Kirksey was just put on the IR. He's going to be out at least the next 8 weeks. They are already without their tight end. David Njoku was put on the IR. Again, he's going to have to be out for at least the next 8 weeks. The Browns are in a rough place right now, and they're already 1-1, and they've got a tough game this weekend going up against the Rams. Next week, they take on the Ravens on the road. Then they take on the surprisingly 2-0 49ers on the road. Then they take on the Seahawks, and then they travel to New England to take on the Patriots. The Browns could very well start the season something like 2-5. Their season's over, and things start to go south quickly in Cleveland. If that is the case, Baltimore could end up with a better record than any of us are anticipating. They could be a 12-4, 13-3 type of a team. And I believe the Chiefs are also a 12-4, 13-3 type of a team. If they lose this game on Sunday, it could end up being the difference between the two seed and getting that bye, and we all know how good Andy Reid is coming off of the bye, or getting the three seed, having to play in that first round, and then having to go on the road in the divisional round, and potentially on the road in the AFC Championship game. This could be a huge game, not just for now, but moving forward, with big implications for the AFC and big implications for the playoffs for the Kansas City Chiefs. So I think we're overselling the rivalry portion of this. And if you missed it earlier this week, the Baltimore Ravens defensive coordinator was really the one that got things started whenever he said this.
The NFL is in good hands with these young quarterbacks, and I think you're going to see two great quarterbacks in this game. You know, we might be seeing the next Brady Manning matchup. Ali Frazier, Magic Bird. You don't know, but the excitement of it, you know, leading off of your question, because all these quarterbacks, these young quarterbacks that are coming out, they can extend plays.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be the next Ali Frazier. I don't think Lamar Jackson versus Patrick Mahomes is going to be that. But it could determine the number two seed in the AFC, and that's something that has not been discussed enough this week. The importance of this game for the actual standings cannot be overstated. The importance of this game for the rivalry between the two quarterbacks, come on, let's relax on that just a little bit. I do agree with Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride on that point. All right, the big story of the week, Jalen Ramsey. Now, there are legitimate questions as to whether or not he is going to be available at this point, which is insane because the entire reason why we've been discussing this is because he is the corner that is actually available. But neither here nor there, if the Jaguars decide that they want to trade Jalen Ramsey, that the return is enough, let's say it is, for instance, two first-round picks that another team has to send their way. First of all, it's worth it. Here are the last 10 number 32 overall picks, which is where I believe the Chiefs would be picking if they got Jalen Ramsey: N'Keal Harry, Lamar Jackson, Ryan Ramczyk, Emmanuel Ogba, Malcolm Brown, Teddy Bridgewater, Matt Elam, David Wilson, Derek Sherrod, and Patrick Robinson. You would trade all of those guys outside of the quarterbacks for Jalen Ramsey. That would be worth it. Now, the hard part for a lot of you guys, and I can understand this, is that if you trade for Jalen Ramsey, you're very likely deciding immediately, we're trading for Jalen Ramsey and getting rid of Chris Jones after the year. That's a hard thing to do. Chris Jones is a really good player who's played really well so far this season and looks like your best defensive lineman, even though you just traded a ton for Frank Clark. So I get it that it's hard to give up that guy. But here's something that would help. First of all, you'd be getting compensation. You'd franchise him and then trade him, so you're probably getting one of those first-rounders back. That would actually end up being higher than the first rounder that you're trading away. You're also getting a player that's likely going to come cheaper in Jalen Ramsey. Top three contracts at defensive tackle, $22 million per year, and then two at $17 million per year. The top three contracts at cornerback, 15, 15, 14. You're probably going to be able to sign Jalen Ramsey for $17 million a year. You probably won't be able to sign Chris Jones for anything less than $20 million per year. He's looking for that Frank Clark deal, and if he has a good season, which we all expect him to have, he's probably going to get it from somebody. So you're saving money, you're recouping some of that draft capital that you're giving up for Jalen Ramsey, and you're getting the best cornerback in the NFL, in my opinion. It's a trade you just got to make. If he is available, the Chiefs make all the sense in the world. He's a guy that helps them. Steve Spagnuolo was asked about it. He seems to be on board.
Do you think your defense could be in need of a lockdown corner, one of like the better players?
I don't think there's a defensive coordinator in the league that wouldn't think you need that, yeah. But well, I think our guys are doing a pretty good job right now. I go back to last week and what they did. Listen, we challenged them during the week. We knew we were going to face some. I mean, Derek Carr's a good quarterback. I thought they stepped up pretty good.
He's on board. This is the guy that they need. The Chiefs haven't won a Super Bowl since I've been born. For most of the listening audience right now, you've never seen in your cognizant life the Chiefs actually be a legitimate Super Bowl contender. This is where you cash in the chips. This is where you go all in. This is where you mortgage a little bit of the future to be able to actually get that one Super Bowl. What would you have said in 2009 if I had told you at that point, from here on out over the next decade, the Packers are going to get one Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback? You would have said that's insane. There's no way that they only get one Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback. That's all he's got. Russell Wilson, one Super Bowl. Andrew Luck, zero Super Bowls. These quarterbacks come in, things change very quickly. And when Patrick Mahomes gets paid, it's going to be even harder to build this thing. They're going to be able to do it, but it's going to be hard to build it the way that they can right now. If you want to go win a Super Bowl, the way to do so is by getting Jalen Ramsey. Even if it means mortgaging a little bit of the future, it'll be worth it. I guarantee you that. Prediction for the game on Sunday, I've got the Chiefs winning this thing 31-23. I think it's tight. I think it's close. I think the Chiefs ultimately pull away late. I'm looking forward to it, man. I'll be out there at Arrowhead on Sunday. Be listening right here on 610 Sports Radio. The Arrowhead Pride tailgate show is tomorrow starting at 10 a.m. I will be on with Therese Paylor Monday at 6 o'clock. But coming up next, we got Out of Bounds. It is Dusty Likens. It is Nick Price. They are live and local for you right here on 610 Sports Radio. It's been a while. It's good to be back. This has been The Leadoff on 610 Sports Radio.
The Leadoff with Brandon Kiley, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.